Amen.
Amen.
That's decent. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And I'm going to do a better job than I did last Wednesday night of moving right along. So Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Proverbs 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And we preached on that a couple Wednesday nights ago. And again, the word trust. And we're going to touch on that subject again tonight. So the title of the message is Renewing Our Trust or Renewing Our Faith, Part 2. Part 2. Trusting in God. So this is, look at verse 20. It says, "In the morning as they passed by," Mark chapter 11, verse 20. "And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." I mean, he had cursed the tree before, and now the tree had withered up and died. Verse 22, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Have faith in God. Just think about that statement. Have faith in God. And he goes on to speak about a prayer, really, and believing and trusting. It says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. For if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." And there could be a whole sermon just on verse 25 and 26. But we'll major on those first three or four verses, and really just the statement, have faith in God. Knowing that believing and trusting in God, and God can do anything. God can do anything. If you pray and ask for a mountain to be removed, if you truly believe, God says it'll happen. And so forth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray tonight simply that you would increase our faith. Lord, help us to trust in you in a greater way. After tonight's message, in Jesus' name, amen. Trusting or faith. And we said last Wednesday night that trust and faith are closely associated in the Bible. They're really just synonyms or sister words. Trusting, having faith in the Lord. We practice faith each and every day, and we've all given many different illustrations of that as I preached over the years. In your marriage, you practice faith. I mean, we're trusting each other. When the doctor writes out a prescription, we trust the doctor that he's giving us, because I have no idea what that word means or any of it means. The bank holding our money, we trust that the airplane, that it's going to stay in the sky, that the pilot knows what he's doing. We get in the elevator, we trust in the person who has put it together, and that everything's working accordingly. We're looking at that state inspection, you know, there when you step inside the elevator, it says state inspection and gives you the dates. Or it says, go to the utility office and they'll show you. Maybe we should do that more often, because we have one here. We have to have it state inspected every year, and it is a complete pain. But it's working correctly unless Adam gets into it, and he's not here, so I'm not going to pick on him. We trust in the architect of the building. We trust in those who built the building. I mean, we have faith and trust every day. It's the glue that holds the fabric of society together. If there was no trust, I mean, we're trusting as we go along on the highway that the person next to us is at least a decent driver and won't come into our lane, you know? And we're watching out. But we have to have some faith. We have to have some trust. Faith. Faith is only as good as its object. If you trust people, we get what people can do. If you trust money, we get what money can do. If we trust ourselves, we get what we can do. But if we trust God, we get what He can do. And we need to put our trust and our faith in Him. In everything in our lives, put our trust in Him. What does it mean to trust God? Here's a few things. And when you think about trust or think about faith, we think about Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll turn there in a moment. If you want to head over that way, you can. But some facts about faith. Faith comes from God's Word. Romans 10:17, most of you be familiar with this verse. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." faith. When we speak of faith and we speak of biblical faith, we are talking about the Bible faith. In other words, I'm putting my faith in what God says. I'm putting my faith in the Bible. Faith is listening to God, what God says, and then and the Word of God, and acting upon it. All right? So I know we've gone over this many times, but a lot of new people. So think about faith is, faith is not based upon opinion, or faith is not based upon circumstances or feelings. Faith is based upon fact. The fact of what? Fact of the Word of God. What does the Word of God says? Whatever the Word of God says, we can act in faith upon it, knowing that it will happen. Amen? If God says something, it will happen. It's a fact. So we don't base our faith upon speculation or some preacher's opinion or some, I don't know, some person out there who has whatever says anything. No, we put our faith in God's Word. We put our faith in God's Word. We base it upon scriptural fact. In fact, the definition of faith, according to Hebrews 11, is faith is a substance of things hoped for, yes, but the evidence of things not seen. And in order to have evidence, you got to have evidence. This is the evidence. I have evidence. I have the facts here. Amen. I'm simply to put my faith in God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But faith is more than a mental assent, and I'm going to get in this moment. Faith is more than a mental assent to what God has to say. It's acting upon it. Again, silly illustration, but if I think that chair will hold me up, I can think it all day long, but until I do it, I haven't acted in faith yet. I'm just speculating that it'll hold me up. No, if I have real faith that'll hold me up, I jump in it. Amen? Everybody with me? Faith is acting upon what you know. We only really believe what we practice of God's Word. It's what you do. Faith is acting upon the facts of the Word of God. Faith strengthens as a relationship grows. Right? We know Enoch walked with God. The more he walked with God, the greater his faith was. We understand that. We know that faith grows, trust grows in our marriages the longer we're married. Typically, it should be that way. Man, faith grows, trust grows. It's the same. You think about a stranger coming up and asking you for $100 bill. You know, you've never met them before. But if your kid comes up and asks you for $100 bill, you have some trust in that, right? Because you know that person. You may not give them the $100 bill, but at least you know the person and you have some trust in them and so forth. So trusting someone does grow over time. Maybe the $100 bill wasn't a good illustration. Can I drive your car? Depends on which car you want to drive. Whether I trust you to drive it or not. All right. Faith grows in a relationship. Trust grows. Faith motivates us to do God's will. Again, in Hebrews, we have lots of verbs. Noah prepared the ark. Everybody with me? He acted. God told him, I'm going to send rain upon the earth. I'm going to destroy the earth. I'm going to send rain. Prepare an ark. And Noah believed and prepared the ark. He had faith in what God said. He had faith in what God told him. And he acted upon what God said. Abraham offered up the sacrifice unto God. You imagine, I can't even imagine God coming down and telling me, hey, take your son, your only son, and offering him up as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. I can't even fathom doing that. But Abraham did. He offered him up. Walked the hill. Isaac got on the altar. Was ready to kill Isaac. God, of course, stopped him. But he was ready. Offered him up. He was acting in faith. Acting in faith. By the way, Hebrews 11 tells us that Abraham acted in faith, knowing that God would raise up Isaac from the dead, because Isaac was the promised seed. It was Isaac from whom the Messiah was to come. And so Abraham understood and knew that. But we think about that again. Moses chose Israel over Egypt. He acted upon his faith. Faith isn't feeling good about what God says, but doing what He says. James spends a lot of time on it. The book of James spends a lot of time on it, that faith without works is dead. You show me your faith, I'll show you my faith by my works, James says. It's acting upon it. Acting upon it. Faith, when acted upon, is a witness. Hebrews 11:2. And let's turn over there real quick if you're not in Hebrews yet. I'll get over there. It's somewhere in the New Testament. You've got to keep looking for it. Hebrews 11. I just quoted verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. For by it the elders obtained a good report. For by it the elders had a good testimony, a good report. Faith brings about a good testimony in our own lives. For by it, faith, we obtain a good testimony. Trusting God means thinking and acting according to God's word in spite of the circumstances or feelings or the consequences. Let me say that again. Faith is trusting God. Trusting God means thinking and acting according to God's word in spite of circumstances, feelings, or consequences. Again, faith is only good, as good as its object. But I'm going to act in faith on God's word no matter how I feel, no matter what circumstances I'm in, and no matter the consequences. A good illustration of that is tithing. Tithing. The Bible says we're to tithe. Old and New Testament, by the way. Not just Old Testament, New Testament. That we are to bring our tithes to the storehouse. That's 10% of what we make. Before the government gets involved, that we're to bring our tithes to the storehouse. Amen? Yeah. I'm getting us ready for stewardship conference. Amen. Tithe, bring it to the storehouse. Bring it. And God says if you bring it, that He'll bless you, and it's an amazing thing. But anyway, but we trust that God says if you bring your tithe, if you give, that He will take care of you in turn. Everybody with me? That He's going to supply your needs. As we obey His word, He promises that we will not be hungry. Amen? Right? So I don't know how many times I've had people come to my office and say, you know, preacher, I can't pay my tithes. You know, I'm afraid the electric bill won't get paid or this won't get paid. Well, the problem is you're not tithing. Yeah. And the reason why you can't pay your electric bill and you can't pay the water bill is because you're not tithing. Yeah. If you'll step out in faith and tithe, then you can base it on fact that God will take care of you because He's promised to. But see, you won't tithe, and therefore you don't have faith to do so to do that, and therefore, you know, it's like, again, your money's like putting money in your pockets with holes in it, and it's going other places. My dad always said you can do a lot more with the 90% than you can the 100. And I do believe this to a certain extent. God's going to get, it's going to happen in some way or another. Why not just give it? You say, preacher, I don't agree with that doctrinally. Well, you and I can debate about it. And I do believe God gives grace. Amen. I'm thankful for that. And God will give grace up to a certain extent. But where's that line? You know, if you want to debate, God's gracious and kind, but he's going to follow through. You know, just like us parents. I mean, a kid gets out of hand, we're going to follow through if you're a good parent. If you're not, if you're like most of the parents in America, that's a whole different story. But if you're a good parent, at some point, you know, obey or else. I'm a little spunky again tonight. I was spunky last Wednesday night. I said things that shouldn't be said. I haven't said anything bad yet. Last Wednesday night I did. It was bad. But tonight we're good. Tithe. Give. God will bless that. All right? So in spite of the circumstances, no matter the consequences, no matter how you feel, you give, God will bless you. That's a fact from the Word of God, and therefore I step out on that promise, and He supplies. So, preacher, I just don't know. Well, and then it's your lack of faith. And you will never grow into that position with God. You'll never grow in that relationship with God of trusting Him. Think about how much you trust your spouse. Think about, to a certain extent, how much you trust your kids. That happened over time. And those things can be broken until you get that trust factor worked out in your own life. So it's a good example. trusting God, stepping out by faith and the Word of God based upon the fact of the Word of God. All right? All right, so we think about a growing faith. Our faith began when we accepted Christ as our Savior. Right? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. For the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So we are saved by faith. We're saved by putting our trust in Jesus Christ. We're saved by transferring our trust, our faith, in whatever we thought was getting us to heaven, and transferring that faith and trust to Jesus Christ, His life, His death, and His resurrection, as our only means of salvation from the wrath of God, from hell. The only means of escaping God's wrath. The only means of escaping hell and going to heaven is through Jesus Christ, believing that He lived, He died, and He rose again to save me. Amen? That's putting my trust in Him, putting my faith in Him. It's being born again. I'm glad I'm born again. And once we're born again, we start out as new Christians, as babes in Christ. That's the illustration the Bible gives. We start out as babes and we begin to grow. And we grow, and as we just as a baby grows, we grow spiritually. And we go through the toddler stage, and we go through the terrible twos. I don't know, not everybody does that. But anyway, you go through the stages, and we ought to always be growing in our faith. But it starts at salvation. The Bible says we're to walk by faith. To walk by faith. And that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to turn there real quick. Chapter 5, verse 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. We're to walk by faith. We're to stand by faith. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. And I did that on purpose, so you just go back a page or two. Not for that we have domination over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand. And I've got a bunch of other scriptures written down. 1 Corinthians, we look back there just a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, which was our theme verse 1 year, says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like man. Men, be strong. Stand fast in the faith. Stand in the faith. We are to stand in the faith. We're to walk in the faith, and then we're to stand in the faith. It says stand. Take a stand. I love that verse. It basically says, be a man. Stand in your faith. Stand for what you believe. There ought to come a time in your Christian growth where you say, I'm going to stand on the Bible. I'm going to stand in my faith no matter what. I'm walking through this journey of my spiritual life, and I'm going to stand. We're going to have to in this day and age which we live in. Amen. We're going to take a bigger stand today than our forefathers had to take. Everybody would agree with that. I mean, we're there today. Take a stand. We're to stand by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then Habakkuk, along with Romans, which is Paul reaching back to Habakkuk, says we're to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We're to live by faith. We're not only saved by faith, but we're to live by faith. Romans chapter 1, Paul says, even from faith to faith. In other words, we're saved by faith, we're to live by faith. What faith, the trust and faith I put in Jesus Christ at salvation, is the same faith and trust I put in Him as I live my life. The same faith and trust I put in Him that when I accepted Him as Savior, that He would save me. It's the same in faith and trust I put in Him when I put my tithe in the offering plate and He says He'll supply my needs. Same faith, same trust. If I would trust Him to save my soul, surely I would trust Him in my daily life. Amen? And I do so by faith and trust in Him. No matter the circumstances, no matter the consequences, and no matter how I feel. We are to live by faith. How are we to tell if we're living by faith? Here's a few things. How are we to tell? How can I tell if I'm living by faith? One, is what I'm doing based on God's Word? Is what I'm doing based upon God's Word? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Again, not based upon feelings, but a confident obedience to God's word. We think again about Hebrews 11. Noah builded the ark. Abraham. God said to Abraham, come out from the Ur of Chaldees. Go to a land that I will show thee of. And all the land you walk upon will be yours. And I will number your children as the stars of heaven, as the sand of the seashore. And the Bible says Abraham believed God. Isn't that amazing? Come out from the land you grew up in. Come out from the land of your forefathers. Come out from the land of your dad and your grandpa. And go to a land that I will show thee of. And Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Again, we think about having that relationship with God. That God speaks to us through his word. We're obedient to that word. And God rewards. Hello. Amen. That is not preached a lot anymore. Because a lot of what's being preached now is, live like you want to, and God's grace will cover it all. And God's not going to follow up and discipline you for not obeying his word. That's the way most Christians, I'm telling you, I'm not mad at nobody. I'm just saying that's what's being taught from the majority of pulpits. It's called the radical grace movement. That you can live and do whatever you want to, and God's fine with it. And you'll go to heaven, everything's hunky-dory. Can I tell you that's not true? That being saved by grace through faith is not a license to do what you want to. We know that from Galatians. We've preached it from the pulpit many times. We ought to. Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace should abound? And he says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He said, we can't use the grace of God as an excuse to live however we want to. We've been saved. We've been given that grace, and we should live by grace. And we should live. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so in this, and what I'm saying is, yes, God's grace is there. And I'm thankful that many times, sometimes, he does not give us what we deserve. That's awesome, because I'm not sure that any of us would be sitting here tonight if that were not the case. Amen? But he did say, whom I love, I will chasten. Amen? So we understand and know we develop a relationship with God. We hear from him. We obey him. And he rewards. Amen. I would use the tithing thing again. We develop a relationship with the Lord. We learn through his word that we should give our tithe. We're obedient to that because we love the Lord. And then he rewards it. Isn't that awesome? By the way, you can do that with every other command. All the commands from Jesus. All the commands from God. You can do that with all of them. Right? Go out on the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house be full. And there's so many others. But go out there. Win them to the Lord. And I will be with you. All of them work. All of his commands work. And he'll reward that. Okay. Faith. Putting our faith in what he says. Trusting in him and his word is what I'm doing based upon God's word. Well, preacher, you don't understand. You know, Noah, he heard the voice of God.
Noah.
I mean, God was talking to Noah, a verbal voice. Man. Abraham. And God talked to Abraham. That's pretty awesome.
Abraham.
God talked to Abraham verbally. I mean, preacher, you don't understand. I mean, If God was to come down and talk to me and I was to hear his voice, absolutely I would do what he asks. Oh, I have a verse for you. It's a pretty good one. It's found in 2 Peter. And Peter has something to say about that. He says, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter said, we're not talking about some fairy tale. Peter's saying, we saw him perform the miracles. We saw him heal a blind man. We saw him raise the dead. We saw these things. For he received from God the Father honor and glory When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." I mean, they heard the voice of God. Everybody with me? Yeah. The disciples that were there when Jesus was baptized, they heard the voice of God. They heard it. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in that holy mount. We have also a more, listen to this, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What's Peter saying? Peter is saying that we have it better than they did. That we have, though they heard from God directly, that we have a more sure word. Amen. And you hold it in your lap. That's Peter's words. That's the Bible word. So don't say, "Well, preacher, if God was to speak to me with a verbal voice, I would do what he asked," because you wouldn't. You wouldn't do it. If you won't do it from the sure word of prophecy, you wouldn't do it if God spoke to you in a verbal voice. A more sure word of prophecy. By the way, Hebrews tells us that God no longer does that. He says, "God, who at sundry time and diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in this last day spoken to us by his Son through the word of God." If you're going to hear from God today, it's not going to be from some TV evangelist telling you to touch the TV. I would say you get some static, but today you don't even get that. When I was a kid, you know, they still had the tubes in them, you know. You touch it, it might be a little warm or whatever, but no, not anymore. No, you're going to hear it from the Word of God. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but faith and trust in God. Is what I'm doing based upon God's Word? If it is, then step out by faith and do it. Because you can count on God's word as fact that whatever I do, God will keep his word. Number two, I'm willing to be patient and wait. Am I willing to be patient and wait? And I'm, for lack of time, I'm not going to read all the scriptures here, but we need to be patient when it comes to the trusting and faithing in God. Patience is the mark of maturity. God's will be done, but in God's time. We touched on that last week, so I'm not going to spend as much time on it this week. But a great illustration of that is when Nehemiah heard that the walls were broken down. Remember, and burned with fire, that Jerusalem had been, it was still in disarray and just rubbish. And Nehemiah cried, remember, and fasted and prayed. By the way, how long did he do that? At least 4 months before he talked to the king. He was patient and waited for God to give him the opportunity to talk to the king. We just need to be willing to be patient. Number three, do I have joy and peace? Do I have joy and peace? If I'm living by faith and I'm trusting in him, this is a tough one now, then I will have joy and peace. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And verse 13. I couldn't read my own writing. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, what? In believing. In believing. In believing him, in trusting him, in putting your faith in him, he'll give you joy and peace. If you are biblically putting your faith in him, joy and peace will happen no matter the circumstance. How do we know that? Well, Paul and Silas in prison were singing. Amen? Everybody? They're still asleep. Amen. Boldness comes when we put our faith and trust in God. When we have that true peace, then God gives us boldness. Peace brings confidence. Fourthly, so how can we tell we are living by faith? Is what I'm doing based on God's word? Am I willing to be patient and wait? Do I have joy and peace? Number four, will what I do glorify God? Will what I do glorify God? I touched on this already a little bit, but Abraham waited. And God promised Abraham he'd have a son. He waited 25 years for Isaac, and God sent him a son. By the way, a son he couldn't claim credit for. because Sarah was past the age of having kids. God did a miracle for Abraham. Vance Havner said this. He said, "By faith, Moses chose the imperishable, saw the invisible, and did the impossible." You think about Moses, 80 years old, leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. Our feelings can be deceptive and head us in the wrong way. Just because experts, majority of people, or friends or family think that you should do it this way or that way doesn't make it the right decision. The way of faith sometimes is lonely. To walk by sight is not to walk by faith. A lot of people walking by sight, waiting for that next experience that God's going to give them, or so they believe. Waiting for that next sign from God. We really, in the New Testament, you really don't need a sign from God. You just act upon His Word. You act upon His Word. I'm not saying that God in many times doesn't bring circumstances to our way. I'm thankful for that, that many times I can see Him acting in my life or see Him, disrupting or the word I'm trying to say. Well, I see Him actively involved in my life. It's amazing, isn't it? How does faith grow? Well, it grows from no faith, little faith, and great faith. As we feed on His Word, as we develop a relationship with Him, as we pray, as we endure trials, as we consider others godly examples, God grows our faith. I think some of the greatest ways God grows our faith, one of the great ways in which God grows our faith is by godly examples and godly testimonies that we can see. Secondly, a few weeks ago I read I told you this already, but I read a biography of a man who was born in Lebanon. And God sent a missionary his way, and he got saved. And just amazing, amazing story. He ends up going back and being a missionary in Lebanon during the wars, during the 70s and 80s. Just amazing how God used him in such a way, and still using him. He's still alive. But it's amazing what he went through. What a testimony. He talks about one time some Christians sitting in a third-floor apartment for a service, and a bomb comes and lands in the middle of what we would call the coffee table. It doesn't detonate. Everybody kind of looks at each other. A second one comes, same place, lands, doesn't detonate. They all leave. The third one did detonate. But he said, it grew their faith to such a degree, and then word got out. I mean, it wasn't like two or three people saw this. It was a dozen people who saw this. And word got, it was such a great test. God, I'm thankful God still, He still allows us and uses things in lives of others to be a testimony for us. You can read Spurgeon's biography and your faith will grow. You can read D.L. Moody's biography and your faith will grow. You can read George Mueller's biography and your faith will grow. It's good to read some good books to help your faith grow. Those with no faith, little faith, are fearful and worry and doubting God's word. And the consequences is they can't be a good witness and minister to others effectively. Again, I know Miss Pat's here tonight, but just to see her faith through the circumstances, it's encouraging, And we've seen many other Christians over the years have that kind of faith as they go through such a trying time. Those with no faith, little faith, or fearful faith worry and doubt God's word. But those with great faith, like Noah and Abraham, what a wonderful testimony. What a wonderful, let's have that kind of faith. Amen? All right, let's all stand. Hymn 337, Trust and Obey. Put our trust and our faith in the Lord, acting upon the Word of God as fact. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time we had and have, and we pray, God, that You would bless again Your Word. Help us to be people of faith. Help us to act upon Your Word. Help us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Lord, we thank You for the promise that if we will, that You'll reward us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 337, Trust and Obey, as we